He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the November 21st live edition of the Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. And it will be a shortened week this week, obviously, with Thanksgiving, Turkey Day on Thursday. We are off to kind of a dicey start in the market here so far. The Dow right now is down 30 points. It's at 33,715. The S&P is down 17 points. It's trading at 39.48 these days. The NASDAQ is down 0.75%. The NASDAQ's down to 11,065. The small caps are down 0.5%. We've got crypto. Where is crypto? Crypto. Wow, crypto is really struggling. It's down to 16,000, just under 16,000 right now. The story of the day for me is oil. News out of China that the COVID is rearing its ugly head once again, and oil is down almost. And it's trading in the $78 range to start a new week. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite. Barry, it seems I left my modem, my broadcasting modem.
Right.
You know, I left my heart in San Francisco. I left my broadcast, but they're overnighting it to me, so hopefully the sound quality will be better by tomorrow. But we're off to kind of a shaky start so far in the market.
Those are some people that I don't think people realize. Those are some sophisticated little pieces of equipment, and you can't just you can't just go pick one of those up from somewhere.
No, and it doesn't quite sound the same over the iPhone. You know, I was wondering why they didn't stop me at TSA this time, because usually they think I'm a hijacker carrying radio equipment and headphones, you know, and a shaving razor.
And something shaped that looks nothing like anything else that they see that goes through the scanners. It's can't buy one of those on Amazon.
No. Well, the story for me so far today, there's a couple of them actually. The sudden replacement of the CEO at Disney. I mean, that happened
that?
That announcement came late last night in the middle of the night. Apparently, Disney's latest earnings report was not too encouraging from Bob Chapek. And they moved and they brought back Bob Iger, who was the longtime CEO, who stayed on a few years to get them through COVID, then finally, sailed off into the sunset. But now he's back to run the company. The other big story, you know what? I mean, this story, you don't know what to believe out of China. China's market was absolutely getting pounded on their draconian measures to get COVID under control and other things, you know, going really rogue, going really communist, really going to that red side big time, and getting rid of any reformers out of the government. That was one of the best trades of the year, was, you know, being on the inverse side of China and the emerging markets, which China is a big part of. Then, you know, China said, well, you know what, we're going to back off on this draconian measures we're taking.
Yeah, coming out of their Congress session.
Yeah. Zero tolerance for COVID. And, you know, that brings up the question, would they be better off just getting it over with, letting it out there and getting to herd immunity, or continuing these lockdowns draconian lockdowns, which are, you know, death for their economy in many ways. That's what they've been doing. They loosened up. You had this huge run-up last two weeks in the Chinese indexes and the Chinese tech stocks and in the emerging markets. And now, and oil, actually. And now they're saying, you know what, there's still issues over here. Or I don't know whose boots are on the ground claiming that. And it's just taking the wind out of the sails of China, the emerging markets, which we have inverse hedges on. And it's really socking oil in the stomach. Maybe Joe Biden will get his Christmas wish to get the oil in that 67 to 72 range to help refill our reserves. But it's not there yet. It's at about $78. And the energy stocks, they're the big losers today. We sold one already this morning for an overall loss of 3.6%. I hate to say it. We lost our Equinor, which is the big Norwegian oil company. Actually, oil is 76.41 right now, down 367 per barrel. So those are the big stories to begin a new week.
And with China, and also with China last week, I mean, it's just such a head fake, you know, back and forth. I mean, at the end of the week last week, they were talking about, using one of their biggest cities as a test city of basically, you know, being the exact opposite of COVID zero, basically letting, letting the whole city, just see, you know, see what happens basically. And then of course today, right, we're back to, COVID zero, you know, all the gaming and Macau entertainment stocks are, getting hammered as well, along with the energy sector.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, like I've been saying it all year long, investing in China is completely, just a spin of the roulette wheel. It's completely unpredictable. Both on the long side and the short side, and there have been some wild, wild swings in the Chinese markets here this year. Well, we had a so-so week last week, you know, after the big rally the week before. The market sobered up a little bit. St. Louis Fed President Ballard said more hikes are needed, which I don't disagree. I don't think anybody disagrees with that, but I guess it's how many more, you know. Neil Kashkari said it's an open question as to how high rates would be raised. But we did have had two decent reports recently on CPI and PPI, which came in a little bit softer than expected. And that has at least got the odds way down. In fact, very unlikely that they'll do another 75-point basis hike next month. Instead, everybody looking more at a 50 basis point hike. So, yeah, the markets really calmed down last week after a couple of red hot weeks. And, you know, the consumer discretionary was all over the place. I think the gains in Walmart were more than offset by the huge drop in Target. It was down 13, 14, 15% somewhere in there. Maybe Target is an outlier, you know, because I did see good reports from Gap stores and Kohl's and some of the others. I just don't know. You know, we don't live in the same kind of world where we go shopping to the stores and flip through the racks and stand in line. It's so much of it has moved to, online shopping. I would be reluctant to buy one of the big box retail stores stocks in this kind of environment. Global stock markets tumble. India down almost 1%. Hong Kong down almost 2%. Europe's not off to a very good start. I just think a dose of reality is coming through the market right now, that we still have inflation around. The Fed is not done yet. The earnings definitely decelerating. There's some question whether or not they continue their growth into 2023. They've been growing since 2009. We're going to make about $225 per share this year. Some people think we'll make 200 or is it 221? 221. Some people think it will be 221 next year. And others think there will be 5 to 6% growth somewhere in there. After the close today, Zoom Video, Dell Technologies, Agilent, a few others will be, Urban Outfitters will be reporting earnings. But earnings season is pretty much over. It's 95, 96% in the books. I updated my target prices last week in the newsletter that went out on Saturday. So we have brand new target prices once again for the next 6 months, and then we have our longer-term 12-month target price based on what we know now about the market. And I would think I'm just a little bit lower than the averages out there. You can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. It's pretty much red across the screen. The inverse funds are ruling the day, especially the inverse funds on the emerging markets in China. They look like pretty good candidates. If you read my newsletter over the weekend on the technical analysis, I said, you know, some of these foreign inverse funds have pulled back to some pretty good support levels here and look like they could be pretty good buys. Once again, I remain bearish on Europe. I remain bearish on the emerging markets. You know, there's a lot of issues that are impacting them. As far as Disney goes, Barry, I like a good turnaround play. I really do. When a new CEO or an old CEO comes back, and I will reevaluate the stock. I mean, this stock has been hammered. You know that Disney has been cut in half. Disney was a $200 stock in March of 21. March of 21, it was a $200 stock, and now it's 98, which is kind of inexcusable. I mean, for the kind of franchise that they have, I mean, if it weren't for the theme parks, they would really be struggling. They're having a difficult time. Which used to be their big money, their cash cow was the new movies that they released. And, you know, everybody in the nation had to see the new Disney princess movie.
Or Star Wars or, you know, whatever it is that they've acquired over the years. Pixar, of course, you know, all of our college football fans out there, of course, you know, ESPN is owned by Disney, ABC. But it's, I know we had a lot of, you know, clients and folks that I talked to who, you know, have held Disney over the years or were holding Disney at the time. I don't know. I think it was, you know, earlier this year where, the CEO kind of made some comments that really probably, you know, didn't really involve, you know, running the company. It was more of a political statement versus, you know, things that CEOs really should be involved in, which is increasing shareholder value. And that was a big sticking point for, you know, certainly for more conservative, longtime, you know, Disney, you know, believers in the stock.
Yeah, well, he's gone, Chapek, and Iger. Yeah. Unfortunately, they can't bring Walt back, you know. He's been gone for a while. Or what was his brother? His brother ran the company, too, for a long time. Roy Disney. So, anyways, we'll be watching it. You know, I've had good luck in the past. I remember Domino's Pizza. This is maybe 6 or 7 years ago. They brought in a big turnaround guy, Patrick. I'm trying to think of his name. Patrick, Irish name. And he turned Domino's around from, like, the worst pizza in the country, in the world, right? He compared the pizza itself to the box. You know, people couldn't tell between the box it came in and the pizza itself. And he totally turned – Patrick Doyle, he completely turned the company around. And that was a great investment in Domino's. Back then, and it's still doing pretty well today, but he moved on And he showed up this past week at Quality Restaurants, QSR, which certainly could use a injection of a turnaround. You know, I don't know that Burger King has the greatest reputation anymore. Tim Hortons, of course, is part of that brand name. It's restaurant
Popeyes.
Brands.
Popeyes has been a big growth thing from. I think they own Firehouse Subs now too, which is actually started out by some firemen in Florida, which is a pretty interesting story. If no one's ever heard it before, it's worth a look at Firehouse Subs.
So you've got your four food groups right there, you know, and those companies: a Whopper, a Firehouse Sub, you know. Popeye's popcorn chicken with spicy sauce on it. Anyways, QSR, we do have a position there in QSR. Maybe Patrick Doyle can work his magic once again. It should be, I'm here to tell you that on Friday, you know, we were in Sarasota last week for the week, but I do my work. I mean, I'm still getting up at 6 a.m. We didn't start our appointments till 11 a.m. And even during the appointments, I had my laptop in front of me and was doing my chart watching and whatnot. And by the end of the week, I had quite a list that I had built up of things that really looked good. I think a little bit of uncertainty has been taken out of the market. The election's behind us. We now have gridlock. That's a good thing. Maybe we've peaked with inflation. Maybe the Fed is going to slow down a little bit. I guess that's kind of a pivot. So, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, a lot of stocks. I'm more of a micro analyst looking at individual stocks than I am a macro analyst, although I do that too. And on Friday, man, I bought 12 new positions. I'm not going to tell you if they were inverse funds or stocks, but I bought three or four in the big cap premier growth in the dividend. In the ultra, I think I bought four. In the emerging growth, I think I bought three. And I bought a new mutual fund, and I bought a new ETF fund. So, if you didn't get the newsletter, well, you get 2 weeks. The newsletter only goes out to my clients or my subscribers. And the rest of the folks that have signed up over the years get the free version of the newsletter, which still has a lot in it. But I did get some complaints, Barry. I can't find the 12 stocks. Well, you have to be a subscriber or you have to be a client to see the 12 stocks. So if you've never ever received the newsletter before, you can sign up for 2 weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And I was actually quite pleased to, it's been quite a while, you know, I have not been able to find a whole lot. When we were going through the 75 basis point rate hikes and the 11% or 10% inflation report, and all the other stuff that was happening, the coming election, which could have turned out. I mean, it's still pretty contentious, but I thought it had the possibility of being a lot more contentious than it turned out. We're glad to have that behind us, and we move on, and I continue to look for best stocks or best inverse funds now. I mean, that's the name of the game. All right. Okay, so Disney, you know, moves on from their CEO and goes back to their old CEO. This big crypto thing continues to ripple through the whole crypto space. Bitcoin's down around 16,000. I continue to own a small position in the inverse Bitcoin.
I heard someone say that they expect it below 10,000, maybe by the end of the year, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, you know, I've watched some videos on that character that ran FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, and man, how come he's not in prison? There's my question. Why is he not? Why hasn't the FBI gone over and nabbed him? Something's not right. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Dow down 95, NASDAQ down 106, and oil down $4.37 per barrel to 75.71. Getting closer to President Biden's buy limit. What was it, 67 to 72? He wants to refill the strategic reserves or begin refilling, but it's got a ways to go. And the reason it's down today is news out of China, COVID. Once again, they just can't seem to make up their minds which way they want to go with it. Seems to me like just let it go. Let it go through the folks and let get that herd immunity. I mean, it seems to have worked eventually here for us. I guess their vaccine's not working over there in China because they do have a big uptick in COVID once again. We'll be headed to Michigan and Minnesota early next year, probably in February. Barry, start checking your calendar.
I've got my jackets ready. I got my jackets ready, so we're good.
Bring your flannel jammies, and you know, we'll probably just hit Minnesota and then fly right on 2 days in Minnesota, 2 days in Michigan. How does that sound?
That sounds good with me. If we're already up that way. It's from a travel standpoint. It's it makes it easy.
Bring your galoshes, and I think that's going to be our winter. Winter trip there. We've never been to our Michigan audience before, and I would like to work in a workshop there in the evening too. We'll there'll be more details coming as we get through the holidays and whatnot, and recover from the Sarasota trip. All right, so here's what else is going on here today. Sam Bankman-Fried. Okay, that's a very interesting story. I don't know why he has not been locked up at the very end when they were out of money and they needed to cover some bad debts. They used the customer money. And they pretty much know that happened. He's an interesting character. You had Tom Brady and his soon-to-be ex-wife were wrapped up in the company as spokespersons for the company. They owned a lot of stock in the company, which is worth nothing now. And others were involved. And Bankman-Fried himself seems to be an altruist, okay? Altruism. I did some study on that. It's for the greater good.
It sounds is that like Robin Hood? Is that
greater good, and you see where it ended up. So it's a crazy story. It's definitely... I think you'll see movies someday,
Is that like Robin Hood, the altruism, steal from the rich, give to the poor kind of?
If the cause is good and if it's worthy, it kind of justifies that. Okay. But I didn't realize it was so prevalent, this altruism, especially in the Silicon Valley.
I never heard of it until you used the word.
Billionaire, so you can, give to causes, to good causes that you believe are good causes. But here's the problem, okay? Most of FTX's fundraising, okay? So much like this woman was just sentenced this past week with Theranos and the blood test. It looks like she's going to get 12 years in prison. Well, she was raising private money from a lot of well-known people, well-connected people, for her supposed revolutionary blood test. And, of course, Bankman-Fried was raising money. FTX is not a public company, but the money he was raising, he would exchange. They would get shares, privately held shares. That's really important to remember. When you invest in a privately held company, there's no liquidity. Unless, another private owner is willing to buy your stock, which I don't think you're going to find that on FTX, or if the company gets bought out or goes public, those are your liquidity events. But, it looks like most of the money that he was raising was going into his pocket. some $420 million from a number of high-profile investors back in October ended up in the hands of the ex-CEO and founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, the Wall Street Journal reported Friday, citing the company's financial records and people with knowledge on the matter. That's another big no-no, Barry. How come he's not in prison? What am I missing here?
Well,
Bermuda, give him up?
One thing is you're spending, he's spending a good bit of time in Bermuda, so there's probably some extradition issues there. Part of the company, I think, is domiciled in Bermuda. You've got, of course, the U.S. Arm domiciled here. As you and I have kind of talked about, it's interesting to see, what laws were broken. I mean, we can all look at it on the surface and say, hey, that's not right. You should be in jail, right? And, whether it's, some kind of Bernie Madoff-style situation or whether it's some kind of Enron situation or, regardless, right, there's some, should be some criminal charges there, certainly.
Absolutely.
Plenty of civil charges, but it's interesting in this wild world of crypto, in our business, right? We know you would be in jail. In that business, I just don't know. I mean, you've got, a lot of times technology and business in general moves faster than laws do, right? Yeah, than regulation. And they were, he was supposedly helping shape, right? At least whether it's through a donation or through actually his expertise was supposed to be helping, right? Helping shape some of this regulation.
Yeah, well,
so I don't know.
He testified before Congress and everything. Okay, another thing we have to worry about this year, the rail strike. Okay, we thought that had been put to bed. I don't think it's I think it's going to happen, and it's going to happen real soon. You talk about a supply chain disruption. When I see these freighters coming into our harbor, six of them are parked here right now, and offloading all of those containers. Many of them are loaded onto train cars, railroad cars. So that's a big problem. There's also a lot of fuel with not enough pipelines in America. A lot of the fuel, especially out of the Williston Basin, comes via railroad. What's that going to do, to the supply chain? In addition to this, the refinery workers at the biggest refinery in Europe, BP's refinery, are going on strike. And here, I worry about this winter. The winter cost of fuel in the Northeast.
Oh, it's chilly down.
And a potential shortage there. Europe, definitely.
And it's chilly down here at the moment. I mean, we're blessed with, pretty mild winter weather. And, it's 36 degrees this morning here, which is like a wet blanket on the coast. It's pretty cold. So.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, this is only November 21st, okay? What's it going to look like on January 21st? How much is fuel oil going to be? What will the supply look like? Not just in Europe, but here in America. Okay, more layoffs. We seem to be seeing more and more of this, okay? Almost every day, some major company, this time it's Gannett, which has the USA Today newspaper, recession talk. I talked about the record spread in the yield curve. I think it got up to 63 basis points on Friday. 63 basis points. It's never been that big of a gap between the 2-year and the 10-year. That's a record. And the leading indicators, which came out last week, were really poor. They fell for an 8th straight month, and they are really pointing. I mean, between the yield curve and the leading indicators, man, there's a capital R by that recession word now.
It's 74 basis points as we're doing the show today. So
that is an indicator that people just aren't willing to go out on that risk scale longer term because they fear that a recession. The big recession denier is Goldman Sachs. They're among the most optimistic on Wall Street that the U.S. will avoid a recession, but they're also the ones that say there will be no growth in earnings next year for the S&P 500. Okay, what's shaken and baking today? We'll talk about that when we come back in the final segment of the show. This is Bill Gunderson, and very tight. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. And as I look at the movers and shakers here today, it looks like there's a little bit of both, okay? There's some inverse funds that are doing really well today, and there's a few stocks that are doing well today. Not a whole lot, but a few. Okay, let's begin with the bull side of the equation. The natural gas stocks are down, but the natural gas ETF itself, which is UNG, is up 4% today. You know, natural gas has come down hard. We're just talking about the commodity natural gas. The ETF was at $34.50 just about 3 months ago. It's come down about 60% to $21. It's put in a base there, and it's starting to break out, UNG, natural gas, as we talk about winter approaching. I know that Freeport refinery down in Texas has been offline, which is a problem. You know, that slows down. The natural gas producers send their natural gas to Freeport to then convert it to liquid natural gas. And right now with that plant down, there has been a glut of natural gas that is not able to be processed. But they're
got nowhere to go.
No, they're supposedly back up in January or February. They had some kind of a cracked pipeline or sabotage or an accident. We're not quite sure. Kind of sketchy what happened to that down there. And then if you're really bullish, Boyle. Boyle was one of the hottest ETFs in the entire market earlier this year. It got up to $140 per share. It's double the performance of the natural gas price. But it's a wild thing. It went from 140 down to 38, back to 123. Right now it's sitting at 45, but it's starting to move. I mean, it's breaking out today. It's up 7.5%. That's two times the price of natural gas. The symbol is Boyle. B-O, that's something the blue crabs here in Charleston do not want to hear. We're going to have a low country boil, right? Because they're usually the main course there, along with some spicy sausage, a little bit of corn, some shrimp. Oh, baby, it's good. All right, now, on the inverse, well, I got to count Disney here. Disney is really the only stock of note that is making a lot of noise today. Disney's up 6% on 12 times normal volume because of the CEO change. Back to Iger and away from Chapek. So we'll see if he can get them back on the right track. Okay, on the inverse side, DRIP is the big winner today. DRIP is inverse oil. We've owned DRIP on and off during the year. Inverse oil, 300%, three times inverse. Just the commodity oil, which these days is playing off of what the news that comes out of China, whether they're going to be draconian or whether they're going to relax their policy. It changes every few weeks. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be too hard for the Chinese government to be investing off of their news releases. Okay, release that we're going to be draconian. Before you do that, however, you know, buy a lot of short the oil markets. Yeah, it just seems like they're playing games to me, because it's every couple weeks you see a reversal in their policy. DRIP is up 10.4% today. The oil stocks are the big losers here today, even the natural gas stocks. And the emerging markets themselves, which China makes up a big part of. We continue to own EDZ, E-D-Z, which is three times inverse the emerging markets. And we own EUM, which is one time inverse the emerging markets. Man, they're bouncing hard. They came down really hard over the last 3 weeks when China said they're going to relax their policy towards COVID. And now that they say they're having issues again, these things are starting to bounce really hard to the upside. EDZ is up 5% today. We own that in our ultra growth portfolio. And then there's two more. We'll mention the semiconductors. They're off today. Not a good day for tech at all. Tech is down, the NASDAQ's down about 120. I don't really like high tech. I think there's some lower PE tech stocks that you can own here, but the high PE, high risk, long-term stuff still looks bad to me. And so SSG is the inverse semiconductors. It's up 2.8% today. And then, of course, BITI. B-I-T-I. Wow, it's really pouncing higher today, bouncing higher. It's up 3.1% today. I don't know. You know, I just don't know if the whole crypto markets are going to implode. But think of how nervous the investors are right now, Barry, and how many redemptions they're getting of people that just want out. And it is somewhat of a, you know, I see it as somewhat of a pyramid scheme. And when people start wanting out, when the whole thing is built on just people coming in and buying more and more and holding and not selling it, when that starts to unravel, that can get pretty ugly.
Yeah, when you can't get – when redemptions are not allowed, you know, or when they're – you know, you'll hear the term suspending redemptions. And I've heard it – I mean, I've heard, you know, even, you know, suspending redemptions at, you know, some large firms that have been in the space for an extended period of time. I mean, that's a – I mean, that's an old-fashioned liquidity crunch, and nothing
yes. –
you know, nothing ends well with a liquidity crunch. I mean, you know, if we
did
equated to the run on the banks in years and years ago. It's no different.
Yep. Okay. Well, this has been fun. We'll be back to do it tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll have my radio equipment back with me by tomorrow's show. If you didn't get the newsletter, man, I put my heart and soul into it again this week. It didn't go out till about 2-3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. It had our 12 new positions in the newsletter. And it had my fresh latest target price. We're getting ready to turn the page on the calendar here from 2022 to 2023. What's it looking like for 2023? But more importantly right now, 2024. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. A free portfolio review at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.